We a few weeks ago we spoke about making a bracha on a Jewish king. We're now going to discuss the other option, is to making a bracha on a non-Jewish king. And there's a remez to this in this week's parsha. The Torah begins in the parsha of Moshe el Aaron v'yitzaveim b'nei Yisrael v'el Paro melech Mitzrayim, that Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron to command b'nei Yisrael and to also speak to Paro, the king of Mitzrayim. To bring the Jewish people out of Egypt. Rashi, based on the Shmos Rabbah, says, what does it mean, Vayitzaveim v'al Paro melech Mitzrayim? Why are we highlighting that Paro is the king of Mitzrayim? Tzivam alav l'chalok lo kavod b'divrehem. Zehu midrasho. The Medrash is telling us that there was a specific command from Hashem to Moshe and Aaron to give kavod to Paro melech Mitzrayim. Even though he was no good, not a nice person, not doing what he was supposed to do, nevertheless, Paro Melech Mitzrayim had to be given kavod and had to be honored for his position. So he had to be honored for his position. So we see here in this Rashi and in Chazal the importance of giving kavod l'malchus, regardless of who that king may be. We'll see it might not go to all types of kings. So in that, with that introduction, let's talk about one of the more famous ways we do give kavod to non-Jewish kings, which is making a bracha upon seeing a non-Jewish leader. Let's look at the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph. Haroa malchei umos haolam, one who sees a king of the one who sees a non-Jewish king should make the bracha of Baruch shenasan mechvodo lebasar v'dam. Blessed is God who gives of his glory as his honor to mankind. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, la'olam yishtadel adam la'rutz l'kras malchei Yisrael. A person surely run to go see a Jewish king, v'lo l'kras malchei Yisrael bilvad, and not just a Jewish king, elafilu l'kras malchei umos. There is a mitzvah to go and to observe and to see a non-Jewish king or leader. Shim yizka, that if we will should be zochu, we should merit to see the coming of Mashiach, yavchin bein malchei Yisrael l'malchei umos, that we'll see the glory of what the Jewish king is like, what the king of Mashiach is like, and what the non-Jewish king is like, in order to distinguish and to see how great the Jewish king is supposed to be with the coming of Mashiach. And Gemara goes on to talk about Rav Sheshes and how he would see the non-Jewish king, and he was blind. We'll talk about that in a moment. And to the extent that a Kohen is allowed to walk over Tumas Meis Midrabanan in order to go see a non-Jewish king. This is all cited l'halach and Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Chav Dalad in Sif Ches. Now, what is the geder, and what is the definition of being considered malchei umos ha'olam? Who falls under that category? So the general geder that almost all of the poskim use is the tshuva of the Radbaz. The tshuva of the Radbaz of David ben Zimri, the Rav in Egypt in the 1400s, he writes in Chelek Aleph and Siman Reish Sadi Vav. And he explains that this applies to anyone who has the control of a king, who can judge and who can kill, and no one can argue with their decisions. Let's read the words of the Radbaz. Davar ze nishal milifnei harav Avram av Beistin. He was asked by a man whose name was Tam Chacham, who was the Ravid, Rav Avram av Beistin. Not the Ravid, I think, of the Rambam fame, but a different Ravid. Ve'eshiv Zalni answered, Klolo shel davar, kol mi shehu chashuv b'shultanaso kemelech. Whoever is thought of in his rulership like a king, V'dan v'horeg b'mishpat, and can judge and kill in his judgment. Ve'ein mi sheshimashana al dvarav. No one can argue with him. Mehen lalav umalav lehen kemelech, is considered like a king. Hu umevarech alav shechach mechvodo shenasa mechvodo. And on such an individual, you would make this bracha. Now, mi'ikar adin, the top figurehead who has the power of life and death, one should make a bracha on that person, and that is the getter that the poskim always bring in discussing this based on the Radbaz. This is Sa'id l'halacha by the Knesset HaGadolah and the Magen Avraham, the Eliyahu Rabba, the Mishnah Berurah, the Kaf HaChaim. All of the poskim cite the Radbaz here. Now, the Chassam Sofer in Or HaChaim, his Shuvos, says that it doesn't have to be the king of an entire country. It could be a governor, it could be a ruler, or even of a city who has that type of power, is able to decide life and death for any of the citizens. And therefore, he said that in certain regions in Germany or Hungary, wherever he was living at the time, they would make a bracha on dukes, people of those types of positions. Now, we're gonna just very quickly say over Shevet HaLevi from Rav Asner, and we'll see how Rav Asner expands the Radbaz. We'll see how it applies to the more important question of a president in a moment. Rav Asner in the Shevet HaLevi in Chelek Aleph in Siman Lamed Hey doesn't agree with everything the Radbaz is saying, or he wants to qualify the Radbaz. He says that if the leader doesn't have the ability to kill without first consulting with government heads, but the head of state is given more honor than anyone else, then you still make the bracha of Shenasan Mechvodo upon seeing that individual. And the Shevet HaLevi explains that the Radbaz is only excluding those government officials who were appointed by the king and don't have the ability to take away life. But the lack of ability to kill is a siman that the appointee by the king lacks godless, lacks rulership, lacks power. However, the melech, or the head of state, is still due the respect of Shenasan Mechvodo, because they're the head of state, regardless of the ability to take a life. This seems to be the understanding of Rav Nevensol as well in his comments in the Mishnah Berurah. Again, the Shevet HaLevi is saying is that Radbaz doesn't mean that only someone who can kill is considered the power of the king to make the bracha. Any head of state gets the bracha. The only question is, a person who is not the head of state, does that individual have a bracha set upon? The answer is if he has the ability of life and death in his hands. That's how Rav Asner understands the sugya. So let's go through some shailas. The first shaila is Amalek. Let's say one was to come across the king of Amalek. Would you make this bracha? So in the fall of 1898, Kaiser Wilhelm II of Germany made a highly publicized visit to the Middle East to solidify his relationship with the Ottoman Empire. And at the end of October, his entourage arrived in Jerusalem. And among the many who joined the royal reception were the representatives of the Yishuv Hayashan, of the old Yishuv. An elaborately decorated makeshift gate was erected in Rehov Yafo. That's why there is that break in Rehov Yafo, right? When you walk through the cars coming in through Rehov Yafo, is because of Kaiser Wilhelm II of Germany, that he couldn't fit his processional through. And the chief rabbis of the city, Rav Shmuel Salant and Rav Yaakov Shaul Alishar, along with the dignitaries of the Jewish community, they stood at the head of the crowd. But absent from that meeting was the leader of the old Yishuv, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. And as the story goes, he had a tradition that Germany had the status of Zera Amalek. And he said he didn't want to attend an event that would require him to make a bracha on the king of Amalek. That's what Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld said. He didn't want to do such a thing. The stipler in Orchos Rabbeinu says that the sheet of Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld is based on the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah Daf Vav says that Germania is Edom, this Edom where Amalek comes from. And the Vilna Gaon has a girsa in the Gemara in Megillah that it should be Germania, Germany. And because Germany had the status of Amalek, therefore you wouldn't want to make the bracha in that case. However, the argument against Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, or you one would make the bracha, is pointed out by Rav Eliezer Brut in his article on this topic in Yeshurun in volume 27, that Rav Shmuel Salant and Yaakov El Yashar, they did make the bracha on the Kaiser, and everyone answered Amen. So clearly, they did not have a problem with this issue. The next question is this bracha said on a queen? The consensus of the poskim is that we do make the bracha on a queen who fulfills the above qualifications. This is the shita of the Bezalel Chachma, of Bezalel Stern, Rav Menashe Klein, the Sha'ar Mishnayos B'Halacha, the Rav Avadja Yosef and the Chazon Avadja, Tshuvos V'Hanagos, Rav Stern B'Chelek Beis, all of them agreed they would make the bracha on a queen who held that same power. Now, the Ber Moshe in Chelek Beis and the Shevet HaLevi add, maybe there's histaklos, how are you allowed to stare at a woman in order to make this bracha? So the answer is that you don't need to stare, you just need to glance and make the bracha. And some of the poskim hold that you just need to know the fact that the queen is there without even having visual confirmation, which we'll talk about in a moment as well. Which then leads to the next question. What about the Queen of England, Alav HaShalom, Aleha HaShalom? Well, one would have made a bracha on her. So one opinion says that you would not make a bracha on the Queen of England, and that's Rav Yitzhak Kaufman in the Yivakesh Torah Maseches Brachos. He says there's no bracha on the Queen of England. She doesn't hold any power. It's a figurehead. Nothing significant with the Queen of England. However, in the Chedushei Basra and the Mishnah Berurah, they record that Leib Gervitz, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Gateshead, made this bracha when he met the Queen of England. And the Tshuva Shraga Meir and Chelek Zion says that because one sees the grandeur and the Kvod Malchus of the Queen, even though she doesn't have so much power, you would still make the bracha. This is the understanding of Rav Yashiv as well, the opinion of Rav Sternbach and Tshuvas V'Hanagos and Chelek Beis, and the same piece notes when the Queen visited Gateshead, Rav Betzal Rakov, who was the Rav of the city of Gateshead, was unsure about the bracha, and then he decided the bracha should be made, because someone told him that there were still some islands under British rule where people could be executed on the Queen's orders, apparently, even if she chose not to use this power. Technically, the rule was on the books, and therefore that was enough for him to make this bracha. Okay. The question we all care about, though, here in America, is do you make the bracha on the President of the United States? So certainly, Rav Vosner would hold in the tshuva that we began with, well, yeah, he is the head of state. He holds the most power in the country, and therefore you would make the bracha. The Aparkasta Dania, Rabbi Sperber and Chelek Beis, so he writes that you make the full bracha upon seeing the President of the United States. The Minchas Alazar, the Munkasher Rav in Chelek Hei, says that since the President can pardon those who could be killed, that is Chayim V'Hamavis B'Yado, that's life and death in his hands, and therefore the bracha be recited. And that was also the opinion of Rabbi Belsky. The Stipler in Orchas Rabbeinu was asked about the President of the United States and whether he should have the bracha recited upon him. He doesn't have the ability to take a person's life. So the Stipler replied that the President gives the license and appoints the judges who can decide life or death, meaning he is in charge of the court system, Supreme Courts, lower courts, things like that. And since he's running the system that gives life and death, therefore you can make the bracha. And then also the Sefer Taras Chaim says there are elections for the President and we all appoint him, and therefore that makes enough of a reason to make a bracha. In the Tshuva Shoal V'Nishal, in Chelek Aleph and Siman Ayin Gimel, we quoted from him last time when we spoke about the bracha on Jewish kings. He says that since the President can make impactful decisions for the moment and for the future, and he can punish, he can stop laws, we should make the bracha. And there's no one more powerful than the President, and even if he can't kill anyone. And Rav Menashe Klein says the same thing as well in the Mishnah Halacha Chelek Aleph. Rav Avadya Seif in the Chazon Avadya in Hilchos Brachos says that since the President of the United States can declare war against his enemies, it is pasha that one makes a bracha on him. That is sheet number one. Number two is that you don't make the bracha at all. In the Tshuvas Kiryas Chana David in Chelek Beis, there was a question regarding the President of France who was visiting Algeria. So he says that the word of a president has no power without the support of other branches of the government, and therefore, there's no bracha at all. And in the Masoros Moshe Chelek Beis, it says that Rav Moshe felt that because of Suffolk Brachas the Hakel, you don't make the bracha on the President of the United States. There is an in-between opinion, and this is the opinion of the Debrecina Rebbe and the Ber Moshe Chelek Beis, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and Halicha Shlomo, Rav Yashiv, all felt you can say without Shema Malchus. You should just say Baruch, Shechalak Mechvodo L'Basar V'Dam. Because the reason the President doesn't have the same power as the King, who's able to take this life and death, and therefore it's not so clear. In the Tshuvas Hanagos and Chelek Beis, he says that the issue is that the President doesn't take power, and instead he's elected by his peers, meaning that's a knock against him. When it comes to the Queen of England, there's more kavod given to her reign, because she signs on the laws, and the monarchy stays in her family. So Sternbach, again, it could be maybe he's biased because he was born in England, but Sternbach understands that technically, even though there's more power in the hands of the United States president, but there's more kavod in the hands of the monarch in England, and therefore they get the bracha. Interestingly, the stipler understands that if a leader takes power and he's not appointed by the people, there's no bracha because he views that as like a false leadership. Okay. Next issue. Does the king have to be wearing something special, royal clothing, in order to make the bracha on him? Or he could be wearing, his sweatpants and a t-shirt. So the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Chaf Ket Beis cites the Tshuvas Nivchar Mibekesef. This is Rabbi Yishaya Pinto. Rabbi Yishaya Pinto is the author of the Perush HaRif on the Ein Yaakov, which is printed in all the standard editions of the Ein Yaakov. He suggests that the Gemara teaches that the purpose of seeing a king and making a bracha is to distinguish between a king and a regular person. But if the king is dressed like a commoner and there's nothing distinguished about the way he presents himself, then what kavod is there in what's being observed? And therefore, the Tzitz Eliezer says there's no bracha recited if a king is wearing a regular person's clothing. And therefore, since the President of the United States wears a suit like everybody else, therefore the bracha is not recited b'shem malchus, says the Tzitz Eliezer, because of his clothing. This is also the opinion of the Sefer Birchas Hashem, Rav Avadya Yosef, in all of his Sfarim Yabi Omer Chavadas, Chazon Avadya, and also in the Yalkut Yosef, says as well, no bracha on the President of the United States with the name of Hashem because he doesn't wear any special clothing. However, interestingly, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, in his Halacha Brura, his major work on Shulchan Aruch, he argues with his father. And he says that the president doesn't show his godless because of his clothing or a crown or a cape or anything like that. Tell me, when you see the president of the United States, it's the security detail, it's hail to the chief, it's the motorcade, all of the things that come with the position, that's what gives kavod to the malchus, not the fact of what he's wearing. All of the ambiance and the palace and all the security, that gives kavod. And as long as the president is dressed nicely and acting as the president, then says Rav Yitzchak Yosef, the bracha should be made. The only time you wouldn't make a bracha based on clothing is if he's trying to blend in, not to be noticed. Okay, in such a case, you wouldn't make a bracha. But if he's acting, conduct himself like the president, then you would make the bracha. The last two questions are about how much of the president do you have to see? Or is it enough to know that he's there? Can you make the bracha even if you don't see the king? So the Chida in the Birka Yosef, here in our Siman, he says that if you see a boat that's carrying the king, but the boat is covered, and you don't know for sure that the king, you can't see the king, but you know for sure that the king is inside the boat, you can make the bracha. What's the proof? Because the Gemara in Brachos that we quoted before says that Rav Sheshis made his bracha, and Rav Sheshis was blind. So if Sheshis was blind and he can make the bracha, so the Birka Yosef and the Shari Tshuva say it must be enough to actually see the head of state. However, the Prima Gadim asks on this because Rav Sheshis in the Gemara blessed the king as a form of greeting. He didn't make the bracha should not, when it's said in the Gemara that Rav Sheshis blessed the king, it doesn't mean that Rav Sheshis said Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shenasa Mechvod L'Basar Adam. It means that he was mevarech, I mean he gave greetings to the king. Now most poskim follow the Prima Gadim, but that's the Prima Gadim's point. And this is also the opinion of the Ches HaLaf and the Magen Geborim. However, a number of poskim note that the Birka Yosef, the Chida, is very problematic. The Birka Yosef is problematic for one major reason. Rav Sheshis made the bracha because others saw the king as well. In addition, according to the Birka Yosef, every time you walk by the palace, according to his logic, and you know the king is home, a person can make the bracha, right? I don't know what the rule is. What's the rule? The flag is up or the flag is down in the White House? I don't remember what it is. If the president's there, isn't there something with the flag? I don't remember exactly. There's some sort of indication of the presence there, not there, whatever it is. So every single time you know for sure that the president is there, but you don't see him, so you're going to make the bracha? It seems to be an odd thing. The whole point of the bracha is to behold the glory of the king. But as long as I get a text that I know the king is home and I walk by the palace, that's enough. That doesn't seem to make any sense. And no post can say such a thing, that if I know the king is in his palace, but I walk by, I can make the bracha. This is the understanding of the Chachma Shlomo, Rosh Shlomo Kluger, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and the Halacha Brura as well, that you actually have to see the king, not know that the king is there. The Ksav Sofer is brought in the pages of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Hagos of the Ksav Sofer, his father, on the Magen Avraham here. And the Ksav Sofer says that there cannot be a mechitza between you and the king. In the case of a blind person, the king is before him, and therefore the bracha can be said. But if there's a barrier so that you can't see the king, so says the Ksav Sofer, there's no bracha recited. And this is what the Pesach Adbir says as well. So most poskim would say you actually have to see the king in order to make the bracha. Everyone agrees that you don't make the bracha if you're only viewing the king live on TV. That's Pashat. The Minchas Yitzchak says that, the Betzalel Chachma, the Deborah Tzina Rav, the Ber Moshe writes in that Shuvah and Chelek Beis, even though it's usher to watch TV. He wants to know in the first place, why are you watching TV? It's usher to watch TV. But even if you're watching TV, you can't make a bracha on the king. The Rabbi Avraham Yosef says this in all of his Sfarim as well. The Betzalel Chachma Chelek Beis, he cites the Pesach Adur, who says that if you see the king through binoculars, you should make the bracha. There's no difference between binoculars or seeing with your own eyes. The last point is this, is regarding timing. Regarding all brachos that we make upon seeing something, that's not a natural phenomenon, but we're talking about the Yam HaGadol, we're talking about seeing a king, we're talking about, you know, tearing Kriya by the Beis HaMikdash, you generally only do it every 30 days. If you see the king less than 30 days, you don't make the bracha. The question is this. Let's say I saw a king and I made the bracha, and then 7 days later I'm in a different country and I see a different king. Do I make the bracha again? Is it on seeing kings and leaders, or is it about seeing specific ones? So Rav Chaim ben Avista in the Knesset HaGadola, in the Nagos HaTor, he says that the rule of not making the bracha less than 30 days only applies to seeing the same king. But if you see a different ruler, then you would make the bracha, even if it's within 30 days from the last ruler that you saw. This is cited by the Magen Avraham, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah as well. That it goes on the specific king, not on the concept of seeing kings. Okay, so hopefully you'll have a better understanding of Kavod Malchus, as we see by Moshe Rabbeinu in Parah from the Parsha, and Be'ezus Hashem will continue next week.